So, in case you hadn't noticed, we are faced with a referendum as to whether we should stay in the EU or not. And none of us knows which way it's going to go on Thursday. Some Christians support leaving the EU because they think that the EU is spiritually and morally worse than the UK. That is a highly debatable point, to say the least. There's a lot wrong in the UK. Secularisation gets worse and worse. The oppression of Christians, I don't use the word persecution because I think that's too strong a word, but the oppression of Christians, and that is growing. And sexual depravity is growing and growing and growing. And so there's some of the things that are wrong with this country. Some Christians think it's all doom and gloom. Have you come across them? The doom and gloom merchants. One might think of, although this is in America, of the Westboro Baptist Church in the USA. I don't know if you've heard of them. But they are going to demonstrate at the funeral of those who were shot a week or so ago. It was in a homosexual nightclub. They're going to demonstrate outside the funeral of those who are being buried, were killed in that event. And they're going to hold banners saying, "God sent the shooter." How on earth they can think that hasn't anything to do with Christianity, I really don't know. But they're an incredibly extreme so-called church, and they do this sort of thing. So there are doom and gloom merchants, you know, all is lost, it'll all go wrong. I jokingly use that phrase sometimes, but that can be the attitude. But there's also a lot of good in society, isn't there? And we need to recognise that. Take the murdered MP, Joe Cox, a dedicated public servant. I didn't know much about her, I must confess, but it sounds like she was an excellent MP. A human rights activist. She used to work for Oxfam and so on. An example, tragically in the news at the moment, of the good that there is in society. There's a lot of loving neighbours, isn't there? There are sometimes neighbours from hell, as they're sometimes called. Yes, I know. But there's a lot of love for neighbours. There's a lot of caring out there by people who might not call themselves Christians at all. So we can't just be doom and gloom merchants. You know, it's all gone wrong. That Britain's all bad, or whatever country is all bad. There is a lot of bad, of course there is. But there's also a lot of good. But what there isn't out there in our society is a lot of loving God. And that is by far the most serious fault, to say the least, sin actually, that there is in our society. And in one sense, I think I am a bit of doom and gloom with that, because unless God does something, come back to that, then that is exceptionally serious. The first and greatest commandment, we didn't have it in this service, but you remember what the first and greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. It's the second, very, very important, but it's the second to love your neighbour as yourself. So even if in society sometimes we're loving our neighbour as ourselves, and as I say, non-Christians can do that as well, sometimes, often, it's still not good enough. Because the first and greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Some people think that God wants religion, but he wants relationship. And it's possible to come to church and to go through religion. It's possible to sing the hymns with some beautiful, wonderful words, and our brains are somewhere else. And we've gone through a religious ritual. And we might have talked about loving God in the service or in the hymns, but actually we're not thinking it, we're not feeling it. It's not coming from the heart. God doesn't want religion. He wants relationship. Oh, there's a place for religion, of course, so long as it's based upon loving God. And some people think that God wants law keeping, whereas he wants love. And I believe this is very, very important for us Christians and also for those out there in society. It's possible to think that people out there who are really good, who are perhaps sacrificially good to their neighbour, they're okay spiritually, they're okay eternally, even if they don't love God. And that is not true. And that is a very solemn fact about our faith. Now, Paul in Galatians 2:15 to 16, which is part of the reading we had. By the way, that reading is just about the most complicated in the New Testament. It's quite difficult to follow, also quite difficult to read because it's so complex. But he addresses this, and what he says is this: we who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified, declared innocent, by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. You can be as good as you like, and you should be, and so should I, but it's not good enough. That's at the heart of Christianity, and in a sense it's bad news. Thank God there is good news that follows, but we must love our neighbour, of course we must. And sometimes Christians can be worse at loving their neighbours than non-Christians. I'm afraid that's very sad. But it doesn't matter how much we love our neighbour, we can't be accepted by God simply on that basis. If we don't love our neighbour, I don't reckon much to our faith, and that's a problem as well. But the point I want to make is, however much we love our neighbour, if we don't love God, then we can't be accepted by God. And that's the solemn truth, but the crucial and vital truth that there is in our faith. We must live moral and upright lives, and some Christians don't. And a lot of non-Christians don't as well. But it doesn't matter how moral and upright we are, we can't be accepted by God on that basis. Use the word law, if you like, for all that. Law, you shall love your neighbour. Law, you should be moral and upright. We cannot be saved by the law. Paul makes it quite clear in that passage and elsewhere in the New Testament. We may only be justified by faith in Christ. I think of a current illustration of this recently. Cliff Richard has had all these allegations against him. And Cliff, as you know, is a sincere, committed Christian. And he's just been effectively declared innocent. Thank God for that. That's great. And this is what justification means, being declared innocent. It's a legal word, and although that wasn't declared by a judge, it was declared by the sort of legal authorities. And so to be justified means that the judge, namely God, declares us innocent. And that cannot be on the basis of how good we are, because we'd never be good enough. We'd have to be perfect, but even that would not be enough, because God wants us to love him. And that's great, really important. So I repeat, some people think God wants religion, but he wants relationship. Some people think God wants law-keeping, but he wants love. And yes, law-keeping and religion have their place. Of course they do. I'm not for one moment undermining them. And at the heart of love is trust, isn't there? If you love someone, you trust them. And God came into the world the first Christmas to make it possible for us to have a relationship with him. He came into the world to show his love by suffering hell for our sins. And I don't mean hell just in the way we sometimes say that, you know, oh, it was hell. No, I mean hell with a capital H. Jesus suffered hell. And here we have this mind-boggling truth that God suffered hell. You might say, especially if you're clued up with theology, well, surely God is above feeling. Well, he's above being forced to feel. We can't make God feel something, but he decides to feel things. Isn't that fantastic? And he decided to experience hell. Utterly the worst possible experience you could have. And that's what Jesus experienced on the cross. Do you remember when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's hell. And so we have a God who is so loving that he came into the world in the person of Jesus, and he died on the cross, and he decided he would experience hell, which he can do. He's not forced to, of course. Anyone is forced to love us, but he decides to do so. So, to be justified, we must believe that that's what God did, and to trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for our justification. Not in our good deeds, not in our morality, not even in our loving our neighbour. Important though those things are, very important. And if they're not in our lives, I don't reckon much to our faith in God. But nevertheless, what is at the heart and the foundation of our faith is that we love God and we trust him, and particularly we trust him that he came into the world, the incarnation, and he experienced hell for us, and of course, conquered death. So we need to understand where our society stands with respect to God, and however moral and upright and caring and loving it is, and we don't want to knock that, it is not loving God. And that is desperately serious. That's why we have to do evangelism. That's why Patricia and myself are going out doing door-to-door visiting in Church Brough, and hopefully elsewhere before long. That's why we want to find other ways of reaching out to society, because they're not loving God. And it doesn't matter in this sense how good they are, they're lost. And we need to reach them, and we need to encourage them to love God. So there isn't much loving God out there. Yet love for God, particularly shown in trust in Christ, is essential to salvation and essential to heaven. So we must pray earnestly, and more earnestly than ever before, that people will realize this most important responsibility. As we go door to door, we get different responses. Some, you know, kind, and they claim to be Christians, and who knows, they probably are, even though they don't darken the doors of the church, which is sad, and they're missing out. Then others are polite, we don't know where they are, and others are not interested. We had that twice on Friday. But how sad. I'm not bothered by what they say to me, but how sad that some of these folk locally don't love God, and so they are without God and without hope in the world. That's what Jesus said, without God and without hope. Why? There's no hope of heaven unless you're loving God. And that means trusting in Jesus. And my heart goes out to these people. We can't browbeat them. We can't force them. We can only seek to love them and share the good news with them. But how we need to be sure what we're sharing. So we're all now thinking about those out there, aren't we? Well, just 1 minute. I think we'll think about those in here, you and me. Do you really love God? That might sound almost an insulting question. Do you really love God? I've been an Anglican for, 60 years or whatever. How dare you ask such a silly question? No, it isn't a silly question. How much does love for God, just feeling loving, expressing loving, thinking loving, figure in your Christian life? It's possible it doesn't figure very much. Sounds terrible, I know. But I have had to learn some things myself. And of course, you keep having to relearn these things, don't you? Because loving God is the most important thing. And do you really trust Christ? Do you trust him that he died for you? And then coming back to those outside, do you really pray for those you know who are unbelievers? Not to condemn, not to misjudge that, you know, they're all evil and all bad, which is not true so often, but to know that they're without God and without hope, and they're not loving God. But we need to make sure, first and foremost, that we are loving God. We are expressing our love to God. We're not just going through the motions, our daily private prayers, our reading the Bible, our coming to church and singing the hymns and going through the liturgy, all of which are very important, but we're actually constantly expressing love to God, because that is the first and greatest commandment. Father, we pray that above all you will enable us to be lovers of you, that we will, so to speak, look up into your face regularly and say, Father, I love you, and express that love. Yes, we'll go on to express it in good deeds and loving our neighbour, of course we will, but may loving you be at the heart of it all. May it be the foundation of it all. May we never just go through the religious words, whether privately or publicly, when our heart is not tuned to you to express our love to you. Help us to love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.